بسم الله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Indeed, all praise is due to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His guidance, we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah from the evil of our own souls and from the bad consequences of our deeds, the bad things that we do. Whomsoever Allah guides, there is no one that can misguide him. And whomever Allah leaves to go astray, then there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that there is no God except for Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has no associates, he has no partners, and there is nothing and no one that deserves worship except for him. And I bear witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, may the peace and blessings of Allah forever be upon him, was his servant and last messenger to all of humanity. وَقَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي الْقُرَانِ الْكَرِيمِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ وَقَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَّفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا وَقَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا أَمَّا بَعْدُ. After praising Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us to become the best Muslims that we can become before the day comes when we go back to meet Him. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to leave behind children who will be the righteous Muslims after us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our children to be better Muslims than we are. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep our descendants on al-Islam until the very last one goes to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma ameen. Brothers and sisters in Islam, inshallah, the topic for today's khutbah is going to be a reminder for us, those of us who have children, those of us who will have children in the future, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, a reminder for us about the importance of passing Islam on to our children. Passing Islam on to our children. Many of us, if you look at the state of the Muslim children today, you'll see that we're not doing what we should do as Muslim parents. We're not passing our Islam on to our children as we should. Many of us, if you look at our children, they look no different than the other children. They look no different than the children that are not Muslim. If you look at our young daughters, you see they look just like the other daughters. If you look at how they act and what they do, you'll see that they're no different than the non-Muslim children. And this is not good. This is not good, and this is not how we pass Islam on to our children. The other day, there were some young girls that were talking, and these young girls, they were talking about when they would have to start wearing hijab. When they would have to start wearing hijab. They were getting close to that age. And they were kind of sad about it. They didn't want to wear hijab. They didn't want to wear hijab because, number one, they hadn't been wearing it. Number two, because they see their mothers don't wear it. Number three, because they felt like they were going to be strangers in their school. And this is the reality. This is the reality. If you go to any school, what are the chances? Come in, brother, please. Come in and sit down. If you go to any of our schools, you'll see, if you happen to see Muslim children, they're always going to be in the minority. Very few Muslim children. They stand out. Especially if they wear hijab. Especially if they act like they're Muslim. Especially if they have a Muslim name. Brothers and sisters, we have to do our part to raise good, righteous Muslim children. We can't not do our part and expect that our children are going to become good Muslims. We have to do our part. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ وَاللَّهُ إِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He reminds us, verily your wealth and your children, they're a test from Allah. They are a test from Allah, a fitna from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah reminds us, and with Allah is the greatest reward. With Allah is the greatest reward for those who pass that test. How many of us, we feel like we're passing a test when it comes to our children and their Islam? Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسَ وَالْحِجَارَةَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh, you who believe, save yourselves and your children and your families from the fire whose fuel is going to be men and stones. Men and stones, that's going to be the fuel of this fire. And Allah is warning us, save yourselves and your families from that fire. How many of us are doing our part to save our children from the fire? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant in this ayat is that we need to work in the obedience of Allah. We need to obey Allah, and we need to encourage our children, our families to obey Allah as well. We need to fear Allah, and we need to instill this sense of taqwa of Allah in our children as well. So that all of us will be saved from the hellfire, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, how many of us, like I said, we're not fulfilling our responsibilities to our children? Our children should understand that Islam is who we are. It's how we live. It's not something that we put on and take off. It's not something that we only do when we come to the masjid and the rest of the time they do whatever. We need to do our job as parents, brothers and sisters. And we're going to be asked about it tomorrow when we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to be asked about our children tomorrow. Did we teach Islam to our children? Did we teach them to have the taqwa of Allah? Did we teach them what Allah says in the Quran? We're going to be asked about our children. And brothers and sisters, we need to remember this. We, the parents, we're going to be the teachers that are with our children the longest. We are going to be the teachers that are going to be with our children the longest. Remember that. How long will we be our children's teachers? 18 years maybe longer. At least 18 years normally. They're going to be with us. We're going to be their teachers. So don't think about, oh, I'm going to send my child to this sheikh. I'm going to send my child to this school. No. What about when your child is with you? What are you teaching your children? There was a Muslim that lived a long time ago. His name was Hisham ibn Ammar. Hisham ibn Ammar. Hisham ibn Ammar, when he was eight years old, his father, he took some of the money that he had invested, and he sold some property. And he used that money to send Hisham to go to study, in Medina with Imam Malik. And I want us to reflect on this for a second. How many of us, we have wealth, but instead of investing in our children for their Islam, we invested in our children for their dunya. We buy them the latest PlayStation. We buy them the latest sneakers. We buy them the latest clothes. We buy them the latest telephone. But how many of us, we invest in their Islam? The father of Hisham ibn Ammar, this is what he did. He sold some of his property to raise money to send his son to study in Medina with Imam Malik. And Hisham, he was 8 years old. When he got to Medina, Hisham, he sees that Imam Malik, he has a huge group of students. He's teaching in Masjid al-Nabawi, and he's got He sent him, and he had a huge group of students. And this little boy, he's only 8 years old. So this little boy, he sits all the way in the back because he can't get to the front because all the senior students are there. So this little boy, Hisham, he waits. He waits for the perfect time to go and talk to Imam Malik. Finally, the time comes when he has a moment. And he goes through all the kids that are there. He goes through all the senior students, the adults. He goes to Imam Malik. And he stands in front of Imam Malik. And by the way, I hope everybody knows who Imam Malik was. Imam Malik is one of the greatest imams of Islam. Imam Malik, this is where we get the Maliki Madhab. You know, some people say, I'm Hanbali, I'm Maliki. This was Imam Malik. So this young boy, Hisham, he goes in front of Imam Malik. And he says to Imam Malik, he says, Hadithni, narrate hadith to me. This is what this little boy says. Imam Malik, he looks at the little boy. He's having a dars. He has all these senior students. And this little boy comes and says, teach me hadith. Imam Malik, he says, ba ikra, go away, read some hadith. This little boy, he insists. He says, ba hadithni, no, you teach me hadith. This is a major scholar, Imam Malik. This little boy is interrupting his dars to say, teach me hadith. Imam Malik, he says, no, go away, but Iqra, go away. Hisham, he insists, no, you teach me hadith. And this goes back and forth. Finally, Imam Malik, he says to one of the senior students, take him outside, learn him some adab, learn him some manners outside. So they take this little boy, Hisham ibn Ahmad, 8 years old, they take him outside and they give him some wax. To learn him some manners. To teach him how you act in front of the sheikh. You don't go to the sheikh and interrupt the class to say, teach me. There's everybody else there too. His manners. So they beat little Hisham 15 licks to learn him some manners. Hisham, rahimahullah, he comes back in. After he gets his beating, he comes back in. He goes to Imam Malik. And he says to Imam Malik, he says to him, Dalamtani, you've oppressed me. You beat me unjustly. He said, my father, he sold his business. And he gave me the money and he sent me here to Medina to learn hadith from you. And I have not achieved this. You have not taught me anything. And on top of that, you had me beat for nothing. This little boy of 8 years old, subhanAllah. What would our 8 year olds be doing? So Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he says to Hisham, he says, what can I do to make it up to you? What can I do to make up for this wrong that I did to you? Hisham, radiallahu anhu, rahimahullah, he says, for every time that I got hit, you have to teach me one hadith. For every time that I got hit, you have to teach me one hadith. So what did Imam Malik, rahimahullah, do? He said, Kala hadathani. He began narrating hadith to Hisham ibn Ammar. In front of everybody. 15 hadith he narrated to Hisham, radiallahu anhu. 15 hadith, and when he was finished, when he did his part, this little boy Hisham, he says to Imam Malik, he said, Azid fil hadith, wazid fil darb. He said, teach me a hadith and you can keep on hitting me. Teach me hadith and you can keep on hitting me. SubhanAllah, this was Hisham ibn Ammar. Does anybody know that name, Hisham ibn Ammar? Hisham ibn Ammar, he was one of the teachers of Imam al-Bukhari. He was one of the teachers of Imam al-Bukhari. Everybody knows Sahih Bukhari, Imam al-Bukhari. Stop and reflect for a moment. Think about the reward that the parents of Hisham ibn Ammar get. They sent their son, they used their wealth to send their son to Medina to study with Imam Malik. And he became one of the greatest muhaddith, the greatest scholars of hadith, and he taught Imam al-Bukhari. Brothers and sisters, how many of us were investing in our children like this? How many of us are investing our wealth in our children's Islam? We buy them the clothes, we buy them the toys, we buy them the TVs, we buy them the phones. What are we giving them from Islam? Brothers and sisters, we have to do our part. We have to do our part. The reality is we're raising our children in a non-Muslim society. But that doesn't mean we just let the children be like everybody else. That doesn't mean we say, well, I know it's hard for you. Just do what they do and try to make salat every so often. We have to do our part, brothers and sisters. We have to do our part to raise good Muslim children. Because tomorrow we're going to be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did you do with the children that I gave you? What did you teach them? And what will our children say about us? Today, when you give your child that telephone or the latest sneakers or the latest clothes, they're happy. They love you. They show you all kinds of love, right? What about on Yawm al-Qiyamah? What about on Yawm al-Qiyamah when they're being questioned for what they did? What do you think they're going to do then? The reality is our children, they're going to throw us under the bus. Under the bus. My father, he didn't make me wear hijab. My parents, they didn't make me make salat. My parents, they didn't teach me about wudu. My parents, they never taught me about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But they gave me this TV. They gave me the sneakers. They sent me to basketball camp, soccer camp. What about the Islam, brothers and sisters? What about the Islam? Brothers and sisters, we need to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's already warned us about what's going to happen on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَّةَ يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. Allah says, when comes the terrible shout, the blowing of the horn on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when that happens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that day, a man, he's going to run away from his mother and his father. He's going to run away from his brother. He's going to run away from his wife and his children. Allah says on that day, everybody will have enough concern for themselves. They're not going to care about anybody else. But brothers and sisters, it's going to come back to us. It's going to come back to us. On that day, we might be trying to run away from our families. trying to run away from our children. But wallahi, Allah is going to bring us right back to the center. And He's going to ask us, what did you do with your children? What did you teach them? Did you pass on Islam to them? So brothers and sisters, we have to do our part. How many of our children, they're going to celebrate Christmas? And you might think this is a ridiculous question for me to ask in a masjid. How many of our children are going to celebrate Christmas? How many of us are going to put Christmas trees in our house? How many of us are going to give our kids Christmas presents? Because we don't want them to feel bad when they see their friends getting presents. How many of us are going to do this? And this happens, brothers and sisters. This is the reality. This happens. And if today you're teaching them Christmas, what are they going to turn around and teach their children tomorrow? If today you teach them, well, as long as you don't celebrate this, you can do the other stuff. You can get the presents, as long as you don't believe in that. What makes you think they're not going to pass this on to their children? Brothers and sisters, we have to do our part. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyatihi. Rasulullah said, all of you are guardians. All of us, we're shepherds. And all of you are going to be asked about those who are under your care. So brothers and sisters, we're going to be asked about our children, and we need to do right by them. And realize, brothers and sisters, that if you teach your child to fear Allah, if you teach your child about how to be Muslim, realize that you're only helping yourself. Realize you're only helping yourself. How beautiful is it when your child teaches you something or reminds you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How beautiful is that? How beautiful is it when you ask a question and your child, he can recite an ayat from the Quran to answer your question? How beautiful is that? During the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, what he would do when he was the Khalifa, he would go throughout the city at night to make sure that the people were taken care of. He would go through the city to make sure everything was correct. Make sure the people were doing what they should be doing. Making sure if anybody needed anything, he was there to help them. One night, Umar radiallahu anhu, he was doing his rounds through the city. And he found himself in a poor section of town. A section of town, like just like we have the projects. He was in a poor section of town where the poor Muslims lived. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he happens to be outside of a house when he hears an interesting conversation. And what he hears was this. He hears a woman saying to her daughter, tomorrow we need to put some water in our milk. Put some water in our milk that we're going to sell. And the daughter says, well, we can't do this. These are Muslims. We can't do this. This is wrong. This is cheating the people. In other words, they want to dilute the milk, add water to the milk, and then sell it as if it's complete. The mother, she says to the daughter, we have to do this. We're poor. This is the only way we can make enough money to support ourselves. The daughter, she says, nah, this is wrong. We can't do this. She says, the daughter says, we used to do this in the days of Jahiliyyah before we became Muslim. But now we're Muslim and we can't do this. The mother says, no, we have to do this. This is the only way. And the daughter says, but Emir, Umar, he said, we can't cheat the people. We can't do these cheating business practices. And by the way, there's a reason why I'm saying this. There's a reason why I'm saying this. We can't cheat the people. We can't deal in fraud. The daughter says, no, we can't do this. And the mother says, look, Umar is not even here. He's never going to find out about it. And what did this girl say? She said, even though Amir al-Mu'mineen is not going to know, the Lord of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is going to know. And so the daughter, she held firm. Even though her mother was saying, let's just do this, it'll be okay, we're poor, we need the money. This daughter, she held firm to her Islam. She said, no, we're not going to do this. The next day, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he sent somebody to buy some milk from these people. To buy some milk from these people to see if, in fact, they watered down the milk. When they brought the milk to Umar ibn Khattab, he drank it and he realized they didn't put any water into that milk. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, this young lady, she's going to make somebody a good wife. So what did he do? He married her to one of his own sons. He married this young lady to one of his own sons. From this couple right here, two generations down, came Umar ibn Abdulaziz. Very famous Khalifa. And my point is this, brothers and sisters. When we raise our children to be righteous Muslims, Only good comes from that. This is how we protect the next generation of Muslims. When we raise our children to be righteous Muslims, how many of us we teach our kids how to cheat the system? How many of us we teach our kids that it's okay to break the rules if you have a good reason to do it? Think about this for a second. How many of us we teach our kids that it's okay to break the rules, it's okay to bend the rules, it's okay to cheat a little bit here and there if you have a good reason? If you teach people to break the rules, or you teach your children to break the rules or bend the rules of the rules that we make, what's going to happen to the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What makes you think they're not going to break those rules as well? And this is the reality, brothers and sisters. You teach your child today to cheat, he's going to cheat on Islam. He's going to cheat on what he should be doing as a Muslim. And it's going to come back to us, brothers and sisters. So we have to do our part. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to become the righteous Muslim parents. أَقُولُ قَلِهَا وَاسْتَغْفِرَ بِهُ لَكُمْ الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. Brothers and sisters, as I said, we need to remember we're going to be the longest teachers that our children have. We're going to be the longest teachers that our children have. Our children, they're going to learn from us even when we don't think we're teaching them anything. They're going to learn just from watching us. Even when we're not trying to teach them anything, they're going to learn just by watching us to see what we do. We can't talk Islam and then do something different and expect our kids to do Islam. That's not how it works. We can't tell our children, make your salat, and then when it comes time for us to make salat, we don't make salat with them. We can't tell our children, be a good Muslim, fear Allah, and then they turn around and they see that we don't fear Allah. They turn around and see us disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a saying it's an old Chinese saying, and I've said it before, but wallahi is the truth, especially when it comes to children. And the saying is this: the best time to plant a tree, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. It's the same thing with our children. If we want righteous Muslim children, we have to start from when they're little. When they're little. Not when they become teenagers and then you want to slap them with hijab. Not when they become teenagers and now you want to throw salat on them. Now you have to start making salat. By then it's too late, brothers and sisters. If you want to train your children, you have to start when they're little. Just like a tree. Just like these people that do the bonsai and they groom the tree just right. They start when it's little. When it's easy to shape it and bend it. Once that tree gets so big, you can't do nothing with it. And it's the same way with our children. It's the same way with our children. Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, la tulhilkum amwalukum, wa la awladukum an dhikrillah. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Oh, you who believe, don't let your properties and your children divert you away from the remembrance of Allah. Don't let your wealth and your properties and your children take you away from the remembrance of Allah. Don't let them take you or keep you from doing what's right by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because whoever does this, they're indeed going to be the losers. So brothers and sisters, even though you hate to see your child unhappy, instill Islam in them. Teach them what they should be doing as Muslims. Make sure they're doing it as Muslims. Even if your child is crying. Even if your child wants to play the video games and when you tell them to come, let's read Quran, they get all sad faced and they don't want to do it. You have to do it for the sake of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you don't do it, who's going to do it? If you don't care enough about your child to try to save him from the hellfire, who's going to do it? Nobody. And on Yawm al-Qiyamah, who's going to answer for that? We are. So brothers and sisters, let's do right by our children. Yes, it's difficult, especially in the society that we're living in today, when they might be the only Muslim in their class. They might be the only Muslim in their school. And we want them to have it as easy as possible. But we have to do our part. It's more important for that child to be a righteous Muslim than for him to have an easy life in school. It's more important for him to stand out as a Muslim and hold fast to his Islam than for him to fit in with everybody else. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the courage and the strength to be righteous parents and to pass Islam on to our children in the correct way. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to set the best example for our children. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us to raise righteous Muslim children and to bless these children.